नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 2 टेक्स्ट नंबर 21। किमद्य तस्मिन् करणीयमाशु मे यद् अर्थतंत्रो न विहन्ति विक्रमम्। स्त्रिया ससुर गुरु मत्यावदो विहम्। यशः श्रियं हन्ति अनुकालमायुः। ट्रांसलेशन प्रॉपर बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरण अरविंद भक्ति विधान स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। Translation. Kamsa thought, what is my duty now? The Supreme Lord, who knows his purpose, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chatushkritam, will not give up his promise. Devaki is a woman. She is my sister, and moreover, she is now pregnant. If I kill her, my reputation, opulence, and duration of life will certainly be vanquished. Purport. According to the Vedic principles, a woman, a brahmana, an old man, a child, and a cow should never be killed. It appears that Kamsa, although a great enemy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was aware of the Vedic culture and conscious of the fact that the soul transmigrates from one body to another, and that one suffers in the next life according to the karmas of this life. Therefore, he was afraid of killing Devaki, since she was a woman. She was a sister and she was pregnant. A kshatriya becomes famous by performing heroic acts. But what would be heroic about killing a woman who, while confined in his custody, was under his shelter? Therefore, he did not want to act drastically by killing Devaki. Kamsa's enemy was within Devaki's womb. But killing an enemy in such a nascent state would not be an exhibition of prowess. According to the Kshatriya rules, an enemy should be fought face to face and with proper weapons. Then if the enemy is killed, the victor becomes famous. Kamsa very conscientiously deliberated upon these facts and therefore refrained from killing Devaki, although she was completely confident that his enemy had already appeared within her womb. Hare Krishna. Yet another opportunity has come, where, as unqualified as I am, getting a chance for purification by reading the Samam Bonum, 10th canto. Please forgive me for my inabilities. I seek blessings and permission from the seniors so that I can speak something, some sense. So here, in this verse, Kamsa has suddenly arisen to good sense. Jaag utha insaan. Suddenly he is thinking, oh my God, Devaki is my sister. How can I kill her? Of course, this good sense is not out of compassion for Devaki. It is out of his selfish interest. Kamsa, being a demon, up till now he has killed 6 children of Devaki. That time, while killing them, no sense had come to him. But suddenly now, as he is seeing the effulgence emanating from Devaki and the assurance that he gets that yes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has taken place in her womb, so now he has become startled. Suddenly he is thinking, yes, A beautiful word mentioned in the verse, Artha Tantra. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who never fails to accomplish His purpose. And Srila Prabhupada also mentions in the translation, the Supreme Lord who knows His purpose, and He writes in brackets, Paritranaya Sadhana Vinashaya Chadushkritam. So He has come to save Devaki, and He has come to kill me. So anyways, He is going to do His work. But somehow or other, I have to save my life. So suddenly, Kamsa is thinking that, should I kill Devaki or should I not kill Devaki? I was just discussing with Shyamananda Prabhu that, you know, why is this suddenly that, you know, Kamsa has, you know, woken up now. He's already killed. So he was just mentioning to me that is the nature of a demon. He goes through these fantasies of mood, the swings of mood. Sometimes he's in good mood, sometimes he's in a bad mood. And this good sense, whenever it comes to him, it doesn't stay for long. It comes, and just as it comes, it goes also. So here suddenly, Kamsa is saying that, what is my duty? The Supreme Lord, He knows His purpose, will not give up His promise. But Devaki, being a woman, she is my sister. And moreover, she is now pregnant. If I kill her, my reputation, opulence and duration of life will certainly be vanquished. So what should I do? Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur, in his commentary, he highlights this point of Artha Tantra, that how the Supreme Lord, however obstacles the demons might pose, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead will never fail to protect His devotees, will never fail to shelter His devotees who are under so much atrocities. Kamsa, as in past also, when the first son was born and dutifully Vasudevji, he handed over the son to him, and out of compassion, as he saw, he again handed it back to Vasudev. But as he came back, because of the advice of his ministers, suddenly he got startled up, and finding his life to be in danger, suddenly again he went and locked up Vasudev and Devaki, and in front of them killed the infant child. So again, because of the association of his bad ministers, Kamsa is again, from his good sense, again falls down to killing the infant without any mercy. We also find so many different demons going through the same instance. In Mahabharata, when the Pandavas are exiled for 12 years. For 12 years, Duryodhan and Karna, they enjoyed. But in the 12th year, as Dhritarashtra is lamenting, as he is awaiting the reaction for whatever his sons and he has done, he is lamenting and is not only just thinking but speaking out louder in the assembly that God knows what is awaiting us, that such atrocities we have caused to Pandavas who have not done any bad to anybody. Listening to my evil son, I have performed such heinous act, and I am sure the destiny is going to hurl upon me a very bad fate. At that time, Bhishma and Drona maintained their silence, that what is the use, because they also know that the good sense that has come to Dhritarashtra now will very soon go away. So there is no point telling him anything. So suddenly, at that time, Duryodhan and Karna, as they are enjoying in their chambers, as they are enjoying the fate that they have given, they have banished the Pandavas for so many years. So suddenly, Shakuni gives them idea that you are enjoying here, but don't you think so your enjoyment will increase if you go to the forest where they are dwelling and enjoy in front of them, arrange a nice camp, have lavish food, arrange your wives to wear nice clothes, because Draupadi is just wearing tree bark. Looking at that, their suffering will increase your enjoyment. So then they arrange on the banks of the river a nice camp. But here, Indra has some different plan. Indra sends Chitrasen, you know, to take revenge from Duryodhan. Gandharva is being very strong. They would definitely defeat Duryodhan. So Chitrasen comes and he, you know, warns Duryodhan from taking any place in that particular area. He says that this area belongs to me, and without my permission, you cannot do anything. And Duryodhan, as he is blinded by the power, he is thinking, who is he to stop me? And suddenly, they wage a war. And Chitrasen and all his accompany his associates, within moments, they defeat Duryodhan and all his brothers and tie them up. When this news goes to Pandavas, Yudhishthir Maharaj, who has sat for a sacrifice, he tells Arjuna, Arjuna, go and free Duryodhan. And when Arjuna goes, there's a fierce battle which happens between Chitrasen. So details of so many astras sent by, you know, Gandharvas being mystical. You know, they attack from so many different directions. But Arjuna, sending his Shabdabhedi astra, he tries to counteract them. Finally, Chitrasen comes, you know, in a peace mood. He says, you know, why do you fight with somebody who is your friend? So suddenly Arjuna says, agreed, you are my friend, but why are you humiliating Duryodhana and Kurus like this? What is your purpose? He's saying, my purpose is Indra has sent me to punish them for whatever bad they've done to you. Like this, bound up, I'm going to take Duryodhan and his brothers to Indra and punish them there. So Arjuna says, this is not right. My elder brother wants them to be freed, because after all, they are our brothers. So at that time, Chitrasen just cannot understand. He says that, you don't understand. Tell Yudhishthir that Duryodhan has actually come here to incite you, to make your suffering more bad by showing off his opulence. After he comes to know that he has done that, Yudhishthir will not forgive him. But Arjuna, knowing the nature of his elder brother, he says that does not matter. What matters to me is, what matters to my brother and us is the protection of our brothers. So you have to leave them. And when Chitrasen gets Duryodhan like a bound up animal and hands it over to Arjuna, who in turn hands it over him to Duryodhan, to Yudhishthir Maharaj. So when Yudhishthir Maharaj frees up Duryodhan and says, you know, why do you end up doing such things? You know, you have a kingdom, live freely. Why do you bother me and my brothers? Let us live peacefully in this forest. So Duryodhan, he just cannot take that insult. He feels so bad, and as everybody is going back, he tells them, I'm not coming back with you. I'll end my life, because as a Kshatriya, insult is much more worser than death to me. So I shall not come back with you, and I'll stay back. So everybody try. Even his famous uncle Shakuni, who is very well known to change his mind by his vicious plans, he tries to tell him that, you know, after all, you know, you are the king and they are your subordinates, so they protected you. What's wrong, you know? You can, you know, that's right. What they've done is right. Why should you be worried about it? Karna, who had fled away in this battle, he comes and says, oh, very nice. It seems like you have defeated the Gandharvas. Very good. After all, you have shown your valor. But Duryodhana, in a very despicable mood, he says, sorry, they have defeated us. And not only have defeated us, but they have done something which I cannot even imagine in my dreams. They have handed us over like animals to Yudhishthir, which is the most last thing I want in my dreams. So then nobody is able to convince Duryodhan. And then Duryodhan says, you all leave, I shall end my life here like this, and nobody of you will be able to convince me for this. So he sits down in meditation, and as he's meditating, suddenly a good sense comes on him, thinking, why did I do this? For whatever wrong I have done to Yudhishthir, I think I deserve death. This is so bad of me that I have done such heinous acts to my own brothers. And as like this he is thinking, suddenly the news reaches the Daityas and Danavas in the Netherlands, in the nether regions. Over there, the nether regions, where the Daityas and Danavas are thinking that we have incarnated in the kingly states so that we can wipe out the pious kings who are worshipping Vishnu. And here, Duryodhan is the leader who will help them to achieve that purpose. But now suddenly this good sense is coming to him. Something should be done. So they arranged for a fire sacrifice. You know, I normally thought it would be a matter of quick, some mystical potency by which they'll get Duryodhan. But they also have to, Mahabharata mentions that they have to do a sacrifice, where a mystical goddess comes out of the fire and says, what can I do for you? And the Daityas and Danavas say, please get Duryodhan. So then she gets him in a subtle body. And as Duryodhan comes there, the king or the leader of the Daityas, he welcomes Duryodhan and tells him that you were born out of our austerities. We did a lot of austerities so that the adharma can prevail on the earth. So please don't give up. Don't let our austerities fail like this. Please, as you are fighting, take up the kingdom, and as when you'll fight, all the demons who are there, they've taken birth in different kingdoms, will come and help you to kill Krishna and to kill Arjuna. As far as Karna is avatar of Naraka. He's specifically there to kill Vishnu, who has killed him in last life. So don't worry. Everybody, even when Drona, Bhishma, everybody will fight. The demons will take over their mind and they will be merciless while killing the Pandavas. So don't worry. We are with you. Our powers are with you. So go ahead and fight against them. So Duryodhan, suddenly, as he sees what is the higher plan and why he is incarnated, suddenly he gets a high feeling and there is a better thing to do rather than to suicide. So fine. So the Daityas tell the goddess to transfer him back. When he comes back, suddenly he is arisen. And when again Karna comes to see whether Duryodhan has changed his mind, when he talks to Duryodhan, he understands that yes, Duryodhan has changed his mind. So then very well soon, both of them leave to again start their vicious plans to break the incognito of Pandavas so that they can again go for exile of 12 years. So here we see how Duryodhan, although he got some good sense because of some stroke of fortune, but still he could not sustain that because of association of all his friend Daityas and Danavas. We see Hiranyakashipu also, as Hiranyaksha's wives are lamenting, he speaks almost the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita to them. But at the same time, he does not see behind to perform atrocities to his own child, who has done nothing bad to him, but spoken very nice words and nice words of wisdom. But still, there is no good sense that remains to Hiranyakashipu. Although he speaks such exalted words, but those words are just on the external lips. It has not sunken deep into his heart. As we see in this verse, that Shukadeva Goswami mentions that Yashaha Shriyaha and Ayuhu. Yashaha Hanti. He is saying that Kamsa, being a demon, is not only a demon but also a knowledgeable man. When you read this verse, you know, this is not fed by somebody, but this is something which he has, you know, recollected from his own study or his own knowledge. So he was knowledgeable. As Srila Prabhupada mentions in Ishopanishad, that a sin is a deliberate disobedience of the laws of nature. And how does a demon show his disobedience to law of nature? By not allowing or possessing something and not acknowledging the proprietorship of the Lord. So here, Kamsa, although being knowing that Krishna is Supreme Lord, but since still he is hell-bent on fighting with him and killing him. A demon is one who knows that who is Supreme Personality of Godhead, but still I will kill him. That is the stubbornness that a demon possesses. And Kamsa also has that stubbornness. And here is thinking, if I kill my sister, who is not only a woman, a sister, but a pregnant woman, my Yashaha, my Shriyaha, and my Ayuhu will be hampered. Why Yashaha? The Acharya's comment that a woman, when somebody is associated with a woman, he gets fame. So if he kills a woman, his fame will be destroyed. Why Shriyaha? Because sister, she is the expansion of goddess of fortune. And so if he kills his sister, it means that he is attacking the goddess of fortune. So whatever Shriya that has been bestowed upon him will be taken away. And pregnant, killing a pregnant woman, what is the effect of that? Saying that a pregnant woman not only will take the life of that woman, but also the life that she shelters in her womb. So he is killing two lives. So that's why he concludes that if I kill her and the child inside, my life also will be hampered. So ultimately, because of this selfish goal, Kamsa is astonished that I should not do this. He concludes that I will not kill Devaki because my life is in danger. My future life, my future, you know, as Prabhupada rightly points out in the purport, that by this statement, you come to know that Kamsa knows about reincarnation, he knows about the philosophy of karma, and he is knowledgeable about how expert the Supreme Lord is. Because here he is mentioning Artha Tantra, that the Supreme Lord, he is going to do his work anyways, but I have to see how I have to save my life. So we see here how Kamsa, the good sense, it came to him, but it went back. But just pondering on the thought that why would it happen that suddenly as he gets good sense, but doesn't stay. The living entity also many times gets subtle messages from the Paramatma inside, from the friends, from the scriptures, but still he's forced to do something bad. This is, as Lord Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, it is because of the association with the mode of passion, the lust and the anger in the heart, which forces the living entity to do the sin. Kamsa, as it happened in the just before this, as he has good sense, but because of the ministers around him, suddenly he thinks that because of their association and because of their words, and as he is allowing those words to enter in his ears, the good sense suddenly depletes. Also, we see in the case of Kaikeyi. Kaikeyi is very happy that Lord Ram is coronated. But suddenly, as Mantara keeps on blabbering so many negative things, and Kaikeyi allows that negative thoughts, that negative words to enter her ears, all that is good in her heart is vanquished, because she gives a ear to Mantara, and very soon the hidden envy in the heart is enlightened. That's why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned, Mayavad Bhasha Shunile Hoile Sharvanash. Just by hearing the atheistic talks, as the talks enter the heart, they kill all the good sense. And whatever is heard, it just destroys and it just evokes the hidden envy of the living entity. So until unless one takes to the path of devotional service, this envy or this bad sense, or rather the good sense, will not maintain. It will come and it will go. And again the living entity will have to suffer because of all his bad deeds. Until unless he takes up fervently to the shelter of Supreme Lord, who will provide him, who will give shelter to him in all circumstances, the living entity, who is with his six senses, the six senses being the mind, suffering in this material world, will not come out of the clutches until unless he takes shelter. Because just as Rupa Goswami mentions, Tadgad Moola Hantri. Slowly and steadily, the path of devotional service is so powerful that it will root out. Not only it will diminish on the surface, but it will root out all the misgivings in the heart. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any corrections? Any comments? Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda ki, Itai Gauri Premanande.